KOMO Seattle.
KOMO FM Oakville.
20 minutes of nonstop news starts now.
Coming up,
COVID numbers swell into record territory. I'm Brian Calvert, and now health inspectors are paying closer attention to restaurants.
Live now to ABC, 9 o'clock.
From ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The economic snapshot for July, unemployment ticking down to 10.2% and 1.8 million jobs added, lower than the hires in May and June. The recovery continuing to seesaw in this pandemic. TD Ameritrade senior market strategist Sean Cruz.
I think there's going to be a decent amount of volatility in the weeks to come, and that'll, I think, escalate as we start getting closer to the election as well.
Coronavirus cases continuing to increase in new states with hotspots in cities, businesses forcing to scale back reopening plans, out-of-work Americans in limbo after supplemental benefits expired, and talks on Capitol Hill of a new deal may have hurdles to overcome.
As the clock ticks down on the self-imposed Friday deadline for an agreement between administration officials and congressional Democrats on coronavirus relief, negotiations between the two parties appear to be on the brink of collapse. President Trump said he could take some form of executive action on COVID relief as early as Friday. Democrats have argued a robust bill is needed to address the litany of economic and health stressors caused by the pandemic. Speaker Pelosi and Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer say the slimmed-down approach taken by Republicans does not address widespread issues caused by coronavirus. Catherine Falders, ABC News, Washington.
The outlook for deaths as of now, the U.S. heading for the death toll nearing 300,000 by December. President Trump's handling of the outbreak being criticized by former CDC directors who served both Democrat and Republican presidents. One doctor, Jeffrey Copeland, says the death toll and outbreak were made worse by mixed messages.
This is not rocket science. We need to apply what we know. We need to feed truth back to the American public and to use those truths with our scientific evidence to control this disease.
President Trump signing an executive order giving China-based companies behind TikTok and WeChat 45 days to sell them to an American company. You're listening to ABC News.
Stay connected. Stay informed. The KOMO Morning News.
And good morning to you. Thanks for joining us on a Friday. A sunshiny Friday, at least it started that way. We're starting to get a few clouds coming in at 9:02. 61 and cloudy in downtown Seattle. I'm Tom Hutler, and these are our top stories from the KOMO 24/7 News Center. The number of confirmed cases of COVID-19 just taking a big jump. KOMO's Brian Calvert with the update.
Not only were there 833 new cases yesterday, but new one-day records for positives were set in Thurston County, where they had 35, and Pierce County, where they reported 123 on Thursday. And the numbers get worse. There were 29 COVID-19-related deaths reported in Washington yesterday alone, bringing the death toll statewide to 1,653. As new infection numbers show no signs of leveling off, the Seattle King County Health Department has a new team of educators and enforcers who are specifically visiting bars and restaurants. Known as S-STAR, or Safe Start for Taverns and Restaurants, these investigators are looking at everything from preventive measures in place to reassessment of those eateries temporarily shut down because of previous violations. Brian Calvert, KOMO News.
The University of Washington says when fall quarter begins, more than 90% of the classes will meet online. KOMO's Corwin Hink with that update.
In a letter to fall enrollees, UW President Anamari Kause and Provost Mark Richards say the only classes to be held in person this fall are those that cannot be taught remotely, including some UW medicine and graduate health sciences programs. Everything else, the letter says, will move online. Kause and Richards note the continued spread of the coronavirus is limiting the UW's ability to safely provide in-person teaching. The letter does say residence halls and other campus housing will be open for students who need it. Corwin Hake, KOMO News.
School board members in Seattle and elsewhere are resisting plans to open the school year entirely online. In the South Kitsap School District, board member Jeff Daly argues for at least some in-person instruction.
Sometime we're going to have to open. All right, we're not going to be able to wait for vaccinations for 330 million Americans.
In Seattle, several school board members tell the Seattle Times they favor a plan offering optional outdoor classes in school playgrounds and city parks. And Metro Transit's preparing two possible scenarios to help residents get in and out of West Seattle. The first assumes the lower Spokane Street Bridge remains open and continues service using that key corridor. If recent issues with the lower bridge force it to close, Metro warns their second plan will be much more disruptive. The agency says this will involve rerouting all downtown bound buses to West Marginal and onto the First Avenue South Bridge. Coming up after we check your traffic and weather, random attacks, six of them in just 3 days. What's going on with that? We'll have Como's Cole Miller reporting. Right now at 9:04, time to talk traffic and say good morning to Kiara Jordan.
Good morning, Tom. So we've been working with a problem in Kent, a crash that's been on the shoulder northbound 167 approaching Willis Street. It looks like the backup is starting to improve a bit more. The flashing lights that we were seeing, it looks like those have either left the scene or at least have been turned off. And that, I believe, had been our major distraction. So we're still looking at off and on slowing as you're working your way from Highway 18 into the area. But that is an improvement. Most of our drives are able to move along at the speed limit. But northbound I-5 is busy in Seattle from the West Seattle Bridge to Seneca. And if you're a ferry rider, just a reminder, sailings between Mukilteo and Clinton and also sailings between Edmonds and Kingston, they're going to be using just one boat each this weekend due to a staff shortage. So just keep that in mind because wait times, they're going to be long at times due to this issue. Our next Como traffic at 9:14.
And your Como forecast, here's meteorologist Kristen Clark.
A partly cloudy day across Puget Sound, but those clouds will be on the increase throughout the afternoon, especially in the northwest interior. Spot that we'll see rain showers by the end of today. That goes for Forks, Squim, all the way into Bellingham by this evening. It's all from a cold front that does manage to bring about a few sprinkles late tonight and into Saturday. For parts of Puget Sound, the rain very isolated, few and far between, leaving most backyards dry this weekend. In the Como Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Kristen Clark.
And a mix of sun and clouds in downtown Seattle right now. Como News Time 9:06. There have been six random assaults in the span of just 3 days in Seattle, and a half dozen people have been arrested for these unprovoked attacks. Como's Cole Miller with more.
Three of those attacks happened down here along 3rd Avenue, right outside of the King County Courthouse, and they were all flat-out frightening. In one, a man had a BB gun that was spray-painted to look like a real firearm. He was pointing it at people. A woman attacked someone with a rock, and another man started randomly going after people hanging out outside of an apartment building. But the worst, as far as injuries go, happened up in Ballard. Walking to work earlier this month, Moses Brundy would end up badly beaten. Making his way through Ballard, he was attacked, kicked while unconscious, and according to court documents, he did not even remember what had happened, bleeding from his mouth, nose, and ears. As for that man attacked up in Ballard, we're told that he is now out of the hospital and recovering at home. And in just the last month, the prosecutor's office tells us it has filed 149 assault charges, 57 of those stemming from Seattle.
Como's Cole Miller, 4.5 years after the crimes, sentences finally handed down yesterday for two men in the shooting deaths of two people and injuring of three others at the Seattle homeless camp known as The Jungle. Brothers James and Jerome Tufelicia were each sentenced to 40 years in prison. The day-long hearing included statements from victims, family members, or family members of deceased victims, and witnesses who recounted the day when the two brothers showed up to rob a drug dealer. One of the proposals of the Seattle City Council is expected to be approved next week. It would eliminate the police navigation team. Como's Suzanne Fawn gets reaction to the idea.
It just makes me a little sad to see all these people camping out here.
Myson Witherspoon has seen the homeless problem grow here at Denny Park. He lives just around the corner from it. More camps seem to be popping up all over the city of Seattle. During the COVID-19 pandemic, sweeps of illegal homeless camps have been suspended. But now another problem could be on the horizon. A proposal to axe the Seattle Police Department navigation team. That's the team of 10 officers and outreach workers trained to work with homeless, help them get off the streets before removing their tents.
I think that's terrible because now we're gonna have to think of a whole new way to deal with this homeless problem that's only gonna keep growing as time goes on.
Como's Suzanne Fawn, the Seattle City Council, proposing deep cuts to the salaries of the police chief and 12 members of her command staff. Como's Steve McCarron asked the chief how she feels about that.
I know that several council members expressed that they feel like some members of the command staff are way overcompensated for what they do.
Yeah, they're wrong. I just think they're wrong about that.
That was Police Chief Carmen Best's reaction when I asked her directly about the city council's proposal to drastically reduce the pay of 13 police executives, including her, for the rest of the year starting September 2nd.
It is a tragedy if we do anything that hurts the compensation of people who work so hard.
The city's website shows Best currently makes nearly $141 per hour.
This is a classic example of the bloated Seattle police budget.
Councilmember Chama Sawant says pay cuts will save nearly $500,000 this year that can be invested back into black and brown communities. She adds, under the law, the council cannot cut the affected employees' paychecks to $150,000 per year, an amount she'd like to see, but the council can reduce them to the lowest amount possible under the city's pay structure.
That's Como Steve McCarron. Extra Seattle police patrols were on hand last night at Alki Beach in West Seattle, hoping to reduce the current crime wave there. Residents seemed relieved to see them.
It's a great idea for them to add extra security because of the recent shooting.
The Seattle Parks Department now paying three additional officers to support them in patrolling Alki Beach and the Don Armini boat ramp areas through September. Police say it was unusually quiet last night at Alki as a result. Como News Time 910. Time to check in at the sports desk now. Yesterday, the deadline for NFL players to opt out of the 2020 season due to the coronavirus pandemic. A total of 66 players have opted out, including 20 offensive linemen, 11 on defense. Players with a medical opt-out get a $350,000 stipend. Those voluntarily opting out get $150,000. Only one Seahawk, guard Chance Warmack, one of the first NFL players to opt out of the upcoming season, but it looks like he'll be the only Seattle player. The Mariners lost 2 of 3 to the Angels, including a 6-1 setback yesterday. And the 10-game homestand winds down with a 3-game interleague series with the National League West Division leading Colorado Rockies, who are 9-3. The Mariners' bullpen's been a weak spot so far, but rookie Joey Gerber made his big league debut Tuesday with a shutout inning, another inning and a third of scoreless ball last night, and manager Scott Servais thinks you might want to keep an eye on this 23-year-old.
I just like watching Joey Gerber. I think he's I love the personality, the body language, call it what you will. I love following him on Twitter. For any of our fans who don't follow him, you should definitely follow him. You'll get a unique insight into what Joey Gerber's all about.
Yeah, pretty remarkable mind as well as a pretty good arm. Yusei Kikuchi gets a start tonight. Seattle Storm yesterday held off Atlanta 93-92. They have a nationally televised game with Phoenix tomorrow. You can see it right on Como 4. Como News Time 9-11, traffic and weather on the way in just a couple of moments, and at least 16 people are in custody in Beirut after the deadly explosion Tuesday. They work at the port where tons of ammonium nitrate was stored in a warehouse. Officials think that's what decimated the city, calling it negligence and not an attack. ABC's Ian Pannell.
As the search goes on for the missing and the dead, incredible stories of survival and sacrifice in Beirut. This video, taken of a woman in labor, the explosion tearing through the hospital. Just blocks away from the blast site, delivering the boy in the dark amid the broken glass and debris. Others had miraculous escapes too. Dr. Isra Al-Siblani from Detroit had gone to Beirut to get married. But this is how her wedding day ended, running for her life.
I started to notice that color of the sky, which changed from blue into pink. And after that, when I heard the explosion.
Luckily, she was not at her hotel, which was heavily damaged. But so many did not live to tell their stories. Saha Faraz, a young firefighter, was at the scene of the blast, one of the first to respond. The rest of her team still missing. Her fiancé posting on Instagram, "My beautiful bride, I'll always love you until we're back together."
So 16 people from the port now arrested, but now that we know that there were warning letters that were ignored, and given the public mood in Lebanon, then there's going to be real pressure on investigators to push their investigation far higher than just a group of local officials.
ABC's Ian Pannell. Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden apologizing for a comment suggesting the Latino community is more diverse than the African-American community.
It was a chance for Joe Biden to further his ties with the black and Hispanic communities. But in a discussion over immigration, the former vice president seemed to suggest the black community lacks diversity of thought.
What you all know, but most people don't know, unlike the African-American community, with notable exceptions, the Latino community is an incredibly diverse community with incredibly different attitudes about different things.
The president pounced.
Joe Biden this morning totally disparaged and insulted the black community. What he said is incredible, and I don't know what's going on with him.
Biden's campaign insists he was not suggesting the black community is a monolith, but rather was referring to diversity of attitudes among Latinos when it comes to immigration. Biden tried to clarify.
We can build a new administration that reflects the full diversity of our nation and the full diversity of Latino communities. Now, when I mean full diversity, unlike the African-American community and many other communities, you're from everywhere. From Europe, from the tip of South America, all the way to our border in Mexico, and in the Caribbean.
The president has a long history of racially charged and divisive remarks. Trump recently tweeting a video of a man shouting the racist phrase white power and calling Black Lives Matter a, quote, symbol of hate.
That's ABC's Mary Bruce. Como News Time 914. ABC's Catherine Falders joins us. The clock is ticking. Negotiations on Capitol Hill for a stimulus package extension. What's going on there? We'll talk with her next. Right now, 914, it's talk traffic. Here's Kiara Jordan.
Well, great news. It looks like all of our backups that were traveling on northbound 167 out of Auburn into Kent have cleared out. We had an earlier issue that was on the shoulder approaching Willis Street that had been doing some damage to the commute, but that has now been repaired. And most of our drives are moving along at the speed limit. In fact, one of the only slow spots I'm seeing right now is on northbound I-5, where the brake lights are coming on around the West Seattle Bridge, and they're going to be sticking with you toward the convention center. Just a minor slow down on northbound 99 just north of the First Avenue South Bridge. And I'm also seeing a slight hesitation traveling eastbound Highway 16 as you're approaching the Tacoma Narrows Bridge. Nothing reported in that area, though. Our next Como traffic at 924.
Partly sunny and a high of about 75 today, but we do have some clouds and overnight a few showers possible. Might even see some late showers in some spots. Morning clouds tomorrow, then mostly sunny, and then sunny and 75 on Sunday and Monday. We're up to 80. Everett, right now, downtown Seattle, or excuse me, Everett is partly sunny in downtown Everett, 59, 57 and cloudy in Tacoma. And it's 60 at SeaTac Airport under partly sunny skies at 916.
Stay connected. Stay informed. The Northwest's only 24-hour news station, Como News.
These are stories we're following with Eric Heintz at the editor's desk. I'm Tom Hutler. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo says all districts in New York State can reopen for in-person classes. He says the state's COVID-19 infection rate is the best in the country. And, quote, if anybody can open, we can. Pfizer will help make a drug used to help coronavirus patients recover more quickly. The agreement for remdesivir is between Pfizer and Gilead Sciences. The drug will be produced in Kansas. Negotiations on Capitol Hill, some are saying, are on the brink of a breakdown, even as millions of out-of-work Americans face life without their $600 stimulus payments. With the latest, I'm joined by ABC's Catherine Falders in Washington. Catherine, are we at an impasse or are they still talking?
Well, they're still talking a bit. Speaker Pelosi just a moment ago said that she does have a call scheduled with the White House, but we're here up against this self-imposed Friday deadline that the White House and Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin said that if they don't come to an agreement here, that they're just going to take unilateral action on their own. So the two sides, Tom, still remain really far apart on these issues, including whether to extend those key unemployment benefits. And look, if they can't reach an agreement by today, it's up for discussion how the White House will go about doing this unilaterally. The president is in Bedminster, New Jersey right now, so his team could be back up on the Hill, but we do expect to hear from the Democratic leaders in a couple press conferences here shortly.
You mentioned this is a self-imposed end-of-the-week deadline. A recess is scheduled next week. Is there a chance they'd stick around to hash this out?
Yeah, so there is a chance. So if they did come to an agreement, say today, for example, then they would still have to vote on this bill, which means that they would have to be in session next week. Mitch McConnell hasn't necessarily adjourned the Senate. He's told all senators that they will have to have a form of 24-hour notice to come back into Washington. But I think we just have to see, you know, how it plays out today. And if the White House just says, as they've been saying, that Democrats aren't, you know, proposing any countermeasures here, and we're not, in the words of Steve Mnuchin, the Treasury Secretary is going to keep coming up to Capitol Hill every single day to make no progress.
It seems that there's more focus on mudslinging than substantive talks right now. And, of course, you mentioned the president considering that executive action if they fail to act. And that is, as you mentioned, a real possibility that he would probably have to take action on that sometime today if he were going to do that, right?
Perhaps maybe sometime today. He teased to reporters yesterday that he could take action as soon as today. He might do something tomorrow on Saturday, he says. At the same time, when he said that, though, he did express some optimism about the negotiations. He said, you know, they're not over yet. But the reality here is that the two sides, the Democrats and the White House, are still trillions, with a T, trillions of dollars apart. with this bill and at odds over state and local government aid and how to extend the federal unemployment benefits.
Yeah, it doesn't look encouraging right now. Catherine, thanks as always for the great reporting. Catherine Falders, ABC News in Washington. Como News Time, 919.
3, 2, 1, 0. Ignition. And liftoff.
SpaceX launched its 10th Starlink mission overnight at the Kennedy Space Center. A Falcon 9 rocket sent up 57 more satellites to its Starlink broadband internet constellation. Two Black Sky planet-watching satellites went up with the rocket as well in this morning's launch. Como News Time now, 9:20. Let's take a look at Money News, the Propel Insurance Business Update. Your money now. Here's Rasa Kay.
The Bureau of Labor Statistics reports the U.S. added 1.8 million jobs in July, a pullback from the gains of May and June, and evidence the resurgent coronavirus is stalling hiring and slowing an economic rebound. The U.S. unemployment rate dropped to 10.2% in July, slightly below June's 11.1%. The Pew Research Center says a sizable majority of U.S. adults, 69%, feel state governments have been lifting restrictions on public activity too quickly. Just 30% say their bigger concern is that states have been too slow to reopen. Cadillac unveiled its first all-electric model, the Lyriq with a Q, is GM's first consumer EV launch since the Chevy Bolt. The luxury SUV will use the company's new modular platform and Ultium battery system for over 300 miles of range on a single charge. Pricing will reportedly begin below $75,000. I'm Rasa Kay with Your Money Now.
All right, we're in negative territory across the board right now. The Dow is down 89.5 to 27,297. The NASDAQ is off 50.25 at 11,057. Still over 11,000 points for the NASDAQ. And the S&P 500 is off 5.5 to 33.43. That's your Propel Insurance Business Update. Como News Time, 9:21.
Here in the Northwest, we're all asking the same questions. When will it end? What do we need to know to stay safe? At Como News, we're built for this. TV, radio, comonews.com, and the Como News app. All working together for you.
This is Como News.